There's always something exciting and at times a little daunting when you learn that a software package on which you really depend for your livelihood has come out with a new version. Of course, the first thing you ask yourself is the thing accessible? Have they changed it so much that you can't use it anymore? And then you ask, well, what's new? Is it really worth upgrading? Do I have to be swept along in the tide of the latest and greatest? For me, SoundForge is one of those packages where I am dependent on it because I make my living with sound and digital editing, and I certainly wouldn't use anything else, certainly in the single track recording environment. SoundForge is not a multi-track editor, but for me it's by far the most speech-friendly and accessible sound editing tool in the single track environment because it adheres so rigidly to Windows editing conventions, and of course it's packed with all kinds of features. Sonic Foundry has released SoundForge version 6. We had a brief look at SoundForge version 5 on Main Menu when it came out, and we've had quite a few emails from people asking, is it worth the upgrade? Can you show us what's new? Actually, the list of new features isn't that great in SoundForge version 6, really. I think what's significant, though, is that what new features there are very significant developments, especially for those people who spend hours in the studio and need to get things done as efficiently as possible. This is well worth every penny if you are in that category. What I've done is set up a situation where we can demonstrate the difference between certain processes in SoundForge version 5 and those same processes in SoundForge version 6. One of the nice things about the way Sonic Foundry does things is that you can keep multiple versions of SoundForge on your system. When I did my tutorial on SoundForge, for example, which is still being sold by Freedom Scientific and is still pretty much relevant because the basic editing techniques haven't changed, I had SoundForge XP and SoundForge on my system and was able to switch between the two when I was making sure that what I was putting in the tutorial was applicable to both versions of SoundForge, and I could point out when they weren't. To my knowledge, there's no SoundForge XP version 6 yet, but I imagine it's in the pipe. I haven't heard that for certain, though. I'm going to use WindowEyes for this demonstration. The machine I use for demonstrations on Main Menu is a Pentium 450, so it's not a fast machine, it's a Pentium 3. And although your mileage may vary a lot, I find there's a significant speed difference in terms of the responsiveness of SoundForge in JAWS and the responsiveness of SoundForge in WindowEyes. I find WindowEyes a lot snappier for whatever reason. It may be something going on my system, who knows. But for me anyway, I find that editing with SoundForge under WindowEyes is significantly snappier. For example, when you press the Enter key to pause the recording, it just seems to be so much more responsive. What I'd like to do then is open SoundForge version 5 and go through a fairly typical editing process for me. So let's do that.
Start menu.
We'll go
Programs
to
pull-down. Accessible Sonic Foundry pull-down.
There's the Sonic Foundry group.
SoundForge 5.0 pull-down.
And there we are. Alright, now we are in the SoundForge group. We'll just arrow up here.
SoundForge 5.
That's the one.
Start.
So we'll press Enter on that and get SoundForge 5 to come up.
Custom control. Sonic Foundry SoundForge.
That speech has increased, so we'll see if we can slow that down.
Sonic Foundry
All right, so I've slowed the voice down, and we're in SoundForge version 5. Now I'd like to deal with an old version of Main Menu, and I've actually made a copy of it so we don't fool with the original. I'm going to open it with Control-O, and that will bring up
N equals file name.
The dialog here.
List view. I equals Lorcan.
It's called test1.wav in this instance.
Test1.wav. 19 of 22.
There we go. And I'm going to open it in direct mode.
Unchecked.
That's checked. So we'll push enter. And
Sonic
it's now going to open the file
Custom
in
control.
Direct mode. I think it probably won't take long because the peak file's already there.
Processing time.
It's done.
1.244 seconds.
All right. I pushed F11 in Brian's set files to hear what the status line was doing. Now, I'm going to press the space bar to play. Now, you can hear that I've actually created a gap there for the purposes of this demonstration. So, when I hit play, there's a gap. Gaps are not good. Yeah, so it's very responsive, but nevertheless, there's that gap. Now, the easiest way to get rid of this gap cleanly is to use the auto trim and crop feature. So I am going to do that. I'll go into the process menu with Alt P.
Menu closed. A equals auto trim crop.
And there it is.
Menu closed. Combo box. Preset. Untitled.
And we'll just push the end key.
Trim silence from ends.
And there we have trim silence from ends. That's what I want to do. So I'll just back tab.
Button. Checkbox. Checked. U equals create undo.
I don't want to create an undo, so I'll press the spacebar.
Uncheck.
And press enter.
Sonic Foundry Sound 4.
So what it's doing is it's getting rid of any silence at the beginning of the file, and it's also getting rid of silence at the end of the file to make it nice and clean. How's it doing?
Cutting. 0.10.
So it's going ahead. This is a big file, remember. It's around about 2 hours long, probably just under. Can we check that while it's doing this? I think we can.
154.289.
Right, so it's essentially 1 hour and 55 minutes long, and it's cutting material from the beginning and the end of the file. It's still doing this.
Cutting. 0.31.
Remember that we're using SoundForge version 5 for this. And it's busily doing that. While I wait for it to do that, I can tell you that the Sonic Foundry website does have some upgrade options to SoundForge version 6. I understand that there are options available for some SoundForge XP users who may want to upgrade either to SoundForge 6, the full version, or to the combination of SoundForge 6 with the noise reduction plugin, which certainly in my experience is the best noise removal tool that there is, but you certainly pay for it. It's not cheap, and it could be argued that it is overpriced, but you certainly get a really nice job when you use this. So we're still trimming from this rather large file.
Cutting. 0.82.
It's only recorded at 22 kilohertz, though, so it's up to about 82% when we just checked it a second ago. And Brian says, we'll say yes, almost complete, when it's just about complete.
Custom control.
And here we are back at the main SoundForge editing window. Now when I push play, oh, look at that. Nice and tight. So that's that done.
Main menu.
Now, I'm going to see if we can take a little bit out of the introduction here. In fact, no, let's not do that. Let's see if we can take a story out of the news brief section, which was actually quite long that week. Conference held to publicise the new labelling system. RIAJ Chairman and Chief Executive. All right, we'll just move along. Copy. And then sell the original decision to come up with a standard for labelling copy fusion occurring in Japan. The RIAJ signed up for its passport. All right. Whether or not it can be played on a Windows PC, Mac PCs, DVD players, and video game consoles. Right, we're going to cut this next story out. There we are, we're in the right place. I'm going to press the left bracket key to mark the beginning of the selection, and then I'm going to look for the end of the story. For the convenience of single sign-in, can strong Microsoft brand Alliance, a technology coalition supported by Sun Microsystems, has also adoption. In court last week, during remedy hearings for Microsoft,
okay,
or lascivious purpose,
oh dear,
without their personal consent, violators would face,
that's the next story,
under a bill introduced in Congress, criticize Microsoft's ties between its products and passport accounts.
That's the one.
Hidden.
That's where we want to be. So we'll mark the end of the selection with the right bracket key. And now we will we'll just check the length of this file.
154.52.186.
And now we'll push the delete key.
Custom control. App starting.
And it's deleting. It's fairly close to the beginning of the file. And as those of you who use SoundForge regularly will know, the closer you are to the beginning of the file, the longer these things tend to take. Because what this is actually doing is deleting from the actual file. Now, you would, in the normal course of events in SoundForge 5, use the cut list. What you would then have to do is the cut list will put the regions that you select onto a special designated part of the file. And apparently visually, sighted people still see the sound with a wavy line put through it. And then you have to go through a process which actually deletes those cut regions from the file, either through the delete cut regions feature or by pasting the cut version, the version with the cuts taken out, into a new window, which is slightly quicker.
Delete 0.50.
So we're 50% through this deletion process now. So you certainly would use the cut list in this situation, that is true. But for the purposes of this demonstration, we're just showing you how this would work if you weren't using the cut list. One disadvantage of the cut list, which really has affected me when you are dealing with tight time frames, and of course it will affect you if, let's say, you want to get something onto a 72-minute CD or whatever, is that the cut list won't tell you the real length of the file. You have to delete the cut regions from the file before you get the real length of the file, and that can be a time-consuming process. So we're just about there now, I hope.
Delete 0.84.
We are indeed, and shortly the set files will say that the process is almost complete. And that's, I think, all we will do with this file. We'll perform the same steps with
almost complete
the new SoundForge. Just wait a second more, and now we can confirm the new length of the file.
151.12.287.
That was quite a large story, wasn't it? So we cut about 3 minutes off that file. Now, let's exit SoundForge 5.
Yes, button.
Yes, I do want to save it, because if I don't, we were in direct mode, and if I don't save it, it's going to undo all those changes, or at least attempt to. Now we're back.
At the
desktop, and WindowEyes is up, so we'll go to the start menu again. In fact, no, we don't need to do that, because I've assigned SoundForge 6 to a hotkey. I'm going to press Control-Alt-S. It is nice to have the previous version there as a backup, though, especially if you absolutely have to have a reliable sound editing tool to get your work done. Now, these are just some of the things that I've noticed with SoundForge 6. There may be some new features tucked away that I haven't yet discovered. When you kind of get these things and you play with them during the week, you're not really playing with them at all. You're simply using them to get a job done. Now we're in SoundForge version 6, and we can confirm that. We'll check what WindowEyes set file is loaded.
WindowEyes active for 60.000.
That's fine. We're with Brian's set file, and there are some significant changes in Brian's SoundForge 6 set files. They do now respect your global settings for speech. They just seem to run a lot more smoothly, and there are some additional features. If you want to check them out, the best thing to do is to go and visit his website at www.hartgen.org. That's HARTGEN.org. They are part of Brian's configuration file service, so you'll need to subscribe to that, or if you wish to buy the set files individually, you can do that. I think the price is around about £3, and you can negotiate that with Brian. Let's open a file now.
Hourglass.
I've got
edit box.
A similar file. It's an exact copy of the one we just played with.
List view. Test1.test2.wav.
There we go. That's test2.wav. Now, because I haven't opened this file before, I don't think.
Building peaks.
That's right. It's building peaks. It doesn't seem to have the concept of direct mode and sort of working with a new temporary file anymore. So it does build a peak file the first time you open a file. Once it's done that, though, once you've opened a file for the first time, it's instance. There's no waiting for the file to open anymore. Now, I'll press the space bar now that that file is open. And here we have that same gap at the beginning of the file. So I'm going to delete it now. And to do that, we'll go into the process menu.
Auto trim crop.
Choose auto trim crop. Press N to get to the last preset.
Button. Sys trim silence trim end.
Everything's sys now. I think because it's saying it's a system preset, but it does make it difficult because everything starts with sys, so you can't push the first letter in a combo box anymore. Now, trim silence trim ends. I'm going to press enter.
Sonic Foundry SoundForge 6.0 test2.wav. Custom control.
And it's done. Remembering how long that took before. Pretty groovy, isn't it? This is what we call non-destructive editing. What that means is that all of the editing is taking place in memory, it's not actually doing anything to the file on disk until you're finished and you save the file. And that is one huge time saver. So now we have a file that is
154.52.186.
So we took a couple of seconds off the file. Let's trim that same news story that we did before. I'm going to use page down, and in the default mode of Brian's scripts now, that will scan us through the file, so that as we press page down, you get feedback as you skim through the file, a little bit like... I'm just increasing the zoom ratio, a little bit like a CD player. Listen to this. Is com weapons, Michael D, and also example, I can talk into the microphone, which is sort of...
oh gosh, the zoom ratio is very, very far, isn't it? We'll just pull it back a bit.
Experience for spiders too. Study revealed that just 26 and earlier in key provided.
No, so I'm just pressing
was necessary
page up to move through the file.
Continue between hardware manufacturers of passport and passport compete. Speaking at a press confirmation, their customers need to use the computer without sight. Speaking at a break, their own CDR copy of passport, including products, soft acquire the features without the need for majority of people are doing so because of product requirement technology. The fact that in the United States, make their own CDR copy and then sell the original technology. The information contained on the disk will be such as weather or IDs and password, product requirements rather than the allure of new features, Gardner.
Right, we're just about at the beginning of the story. I'll just narrow the zoom ratio in.
Requirements rather than doing so because of products. But the majority of people bought authentication. People signed up for its Microsoft has doubled the number of people.
And we're just about there. I don't seem to be able to use the arrow keys to move back. It's saying the letter one for some reason, the number one.
Number of people signed up. Microsoft has...
No, that's exactly where we want to be. So we'll push the left bracket key. And we can get all sorts of other feedback by changing the mode of the set file. So it could actually tell us where the selection is going to start and end from. But we're not in that mode at the moment.
Passport service. People are directly allured.
So I'm paging down through the file now.
The number of passport users, 14 million between, and field authentication, which is a sake, Gardner said. So Microsoft has services is clearly not vague. Gardner found that for the convenience of single sign-in, many products. Strong Microsoft came in second to technology coalition support food rivals potential as AOL. Critics of Passport Sun and State have challenged Microsoft's of Windows and other desk products to drive adoption.
And
in court last week during remedy hearing, joined Louis Democrats Andrew to announce the bill that would move forward under a bill introduced Microsoft's antitrust trial. Sun Chief Officer Jonathan Schwartz sharply criticized Microsoft's product counts.
Okay. Hidden. Now, we can push the right bracket key to mark the end of that selection. And now delete. And it's gone. And we can now check with the Control F1 key to check how long the file is.
151.12.362.
And it confirms that the file is now about 3 minutes smaller than it was. So you recall how long it took us once we'd made the selection and hit the delete key for it to be removed from the file. And now what we will have to do, though, is save this file. So there is going to be a small time factor here. If I press Control S...
Progress bar.
So it's now going to save that file. Having done all your editing, it's actually copying, as it were, what's in memory now to disk. And that does take a wee while.
Saving test2.log. 0.25 cancel.
But not nearly as long as it would in SoundForge 5 to actually make the deletions and reconstruct the file. I have found, I mean, it may be my imagination, but I don't think so. I have found that some processes do take a bit longer. I think normalizing takes longer. I'm fairly sure that opening an MP3 file takes quite a bit longer. But for the basic bread and butter editing tasks, there's just nothing like it. Also, things like cutting and pasting. If you have ever tried to copy a file to the clipboard and then paste it at the front of a very long file, let's say I've got a
to our main menu file, and I want to paste something in at the beginning. Now, the catalyst isn't going to help there, and it can take a very long time. Now, it's completely instant. Things like copying something to the clipboard is also instant. So there's just so much speed in SoundForge version 6 that wasn't there in version 5 because of the way that they're doing the editing. Another feature that is worthwhile is the ability to
custom control.
Do, there we go, it's saved it now, and we have the file all safely on disk.
151.12.362.
And that's done. Nice and tight at the top. And with the new story deleted. One thing that you can also do is do work on a file while something else is going on in the background. So I can add a bit of compression to this file, let's say. We'll go into the Wave Hammer, go to the Effects menu and choose Wave Hammer. And
custom control.
Let's take
dialogue.
A look at some compression options that we have here.
SysBase 2, SysBypass, SysDeep Compression 4.
Well, deep compression will be pretty significant. Yeah.
Main
so let's add the
Sonic
deep compression.
It's
going to do it now. We'll check that it is. I don't seem to be getting any feedback from F11 on this one. But it is doing it, I'm sure. And we can now open another file while it's doing it.
Edit
so
box.
We'll do that.
Dialogue.
It's a real pleasure.
I actually have the Audible. Okay, so we have a bit of the Audible. Excuse me, just turn them down a bit. We have a bit of the Audible review that I was working with last week and that we broadcast last week. And
I actually have the Audible man.
Now I'm editing in that Audible file while deep dynamic compression is being added in the background to another file.
There. And choose
now it's active setup.exe. On this machine, it's really sluggish.
Setup.exe and we'll...
It's taking about 3/4 of a second after I press enter to stop. But that's because this machine by today's standards is slow, and I suspect that the faster your CPU and the more RAM you have, of course, the less of an issue this is going to be. The important thing is that it is possible now to have it do some of these complicated things like adding a bit of reverb, dynamic compression, normalizing the file, adding noise reduction, all of those things, while you are then working on the next piece. I mean, the amount of time that this is going to save is amazing.
And we'll do an install.
We will. So that's how that works. I can close this file with Control F4.
And
now we're back in the test2.wav file. So those are the primary changes to SoundForge. The fact that you can work with a file in the background and this whole new concept of non-destructive editing. If you have a previous version of SoundForge, you can upgrade. I think it's about $129 US for an upgrade, and $199 if you want the noise reduction plugin. The noise reduction plugin is a suite of tools that will allow you to remove noise from a file, background noise such as, say, computer fan sounds, or some kind of power hum, that kind of thing. There are also tools that will try and repair as best they can when there's distortion, some kind of clipping going on. You can also remove clicks and pops. There's a general plugin there for vinyl restoration, which can very nicely clean up the crackles and pops and things that you will get on some old records. And if you fool around with it enough and get the mix just right, you can really have those old records sounding in pretty pristine condition when you're putting them onto CD or turning them into MP3 files to preserve the current quality and avoid further degradation. I have found a couple of funny bugs with it that I wouldn't want to comment on because I can't produce them reliably enough, and but I have been talking to the Sonic Foundry technical support people, and I have found them very good. They are not kind of customer support people masquerading as technical support people. They really do know their stuff, and they are prepared to spend time with you and work out any issues that you have, and certainly that kind of quality product support is also worth paying for. So you have one very satisfied SoundForge user here. Fantastic product. Got to have 10 out of 10 for this. And if you want to find out more information, www.sonicfoundry.com. And what a relief to think that main menu will be so much quicker to produce now. And just a reminder that for screen reader configuration files for WindowEyes, Brian Hartchin is constantly working on his SoundForge 6 set files, www.hartgen.org, that's HARTGEN.org, and you can either pay for those as an individual package for about £3 or £4, or you can subscribe to Brian's configuration file service, which gives you all that he develops for Jaws, WindowEyes and HAL. You can also obtain Jim Snowbarger's script files for SoundForge. He's working on those. If you are a user of SoundForge version 5 or previous scripts, you will have to pay a small upgrade fee. And you can find out more about those, which offer very similar functionality to Brian's WindowEyes set files, at www.snowmanradio.com. That's www.snowmanradio.com.